Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for September. We have gotten to another one. It's been a little bit, but not as long, and so we're doing halfway better. That being said, I'm Tommy. Jamie sitting over there. How you doing, man?
Bro, I can see you!
Yeah, we're doing this on Zoom for the first time, so we're looking at each other. It might become a thing. It might be we get to see each other while we're doing the show. I don't know why we would want to, but theoretically we could. I
gotta give Chad credit because I have been using it this summer. You use it for work. It does work really well. So we probably should have done this way before now.
Yeah, that's fair. Speaking of which, we also have Chad. How you doing, Chad?
You got that recorded, right? I got to give Chad credit. I want that to be. We're going to play that shit on loop at some point, right?
Little piece of production coming.
That's
there.
That's a Hall of Fame right. Moment.
And then, as you heard, we also got Cabbage. How you doing, Cabbage?
All right.
And we also have Duff, who I don't think is in front of his computer right now, but will be soon. And so Duff will be joining us momentarily. So all that said, the topic of this roundtable is no surprise. We have next-gen price points and details and all that fun stuff. Plus, we have this huge news with Microsoft and ZeniMax. Yeah, those are the things we're going to talk about, see what happens. So let me start with just next gen. We know what the Xbox Series X/S is. We know what the PlayStation 5 is. We know that they cost basically the same thing. So now I'm curious, what are your next gen plans, starting with Chad?
I mean, you guys obviously make fun of it because I'm not really a big early adopter of things. Every once in a while I will, but on most consoles I haven't been. I usually get in on the groundish floor, and I think that's where I'm going to be on these. More being an old man, more important things to spend that money on right now. I guess I could get one of them if I want to, but they're not really presenting a lot for me that I need right this second, especially since PS4 or PS5, when it was Horizon Zero Dawn, the new one, I was like, okay, well, maybe that's what I need. And, you know, honey, that one of the departments that my wife runs is the electronics department for Target. And she's like, I couldn't get you one. Like, I could lose my job if I did that. So I was shit out of luck there. I thought I was going to be able to have an in. They're not presenting anything to me where I need to see it that much better. I mean, obviously, with those, you're getting more of the full-time 4K and 60 frames. You see that? You see that? I got a Diet Coke delivery. I text that down. Right, kid, you bring me that Diet Coke. You guys lost my train.
Yeah, video was a terrible idea.
No, I know, so many distractions.
It's better to see the reactions and stuff. That's so much more fun. But yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just not seeing anything that I need right now to where I need to adopt right now. And then I know a lot of us have been on that earlier ground floor adoption. And then a year later, I'm not saying I'm going to wait a year, but I might. I don't know at this point. A year later, they come out with a better model that's $100 cheaper or something like that. Oh, everything got cheaper. So now it's got a 2 terabyte. And you're like, what the fuck about the $500 I spent over here, you know? So especially like what happened with Xbox. So you got the original Xbox One and then the Xbox One S and then the Xbox One X, you know, and same thing. But then the PS4, there's a couple different models and then the PS4 Pro. And for the most part, I tend to sell off or give them to, you know, a nephew or something like that and then get the newer one. But yeah. I don't know if I will this time. I might wait till, you know, next Christmas. I don't know.
That's fair.
Or am I going to bug up my ass? I mean, you guys know I might get a bug up my ass and just go buy one. I don't know.
Right. We definitely know. Cabbage, same question you have. I'm curious where you're at plans for next gen at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm similar in the fact that I pre-ordered a Switch. I was lucky enough somehow to get on Walmart whenever they were like going live to get one. I still don't understand how I was able to, because it seemed like they were having the same situation that we're having now with the Xbox and PlayStation. So, but other than that, like, I haven't even attempted to pre-order or buy a console day one, like, ever. Besides that, I usually will wait it close to a year, if not longer, for the, all the reasons that Chad said. Because it's, I mean, let's just look back to the Xbox One. Remember that thing originally launched, you had to buy it with a Kinect, right? If I'm remembering right.
Yep.
So that's part of why it was $500. Wasn't that the deal?
Yep.
Wasn't it Sony going to launch that way and then they stalled it? Exactly. I thought...
If I remember right, they did launch it that way, but fairly soon after, maybe in the course of like a matter of months, they released a $399 version that didn't have it.
That's right.
And that's part of why I waited, because I actually did buy the Xbox One. I do not plan on buying the newer Xboxes. We'll get into that. But anyway, that's an example of that kind of thing could happen, or at the very least, even if prices don't go down in about a year or so, and I probably want to get the PlayStation 5, which is the one I'm planning on getting. I feel like I don't need to wait. I can wait that long. Like, I don't need to get it sooner, because the game I really want to play that's coming out on launch day is Miles Morales, which is on PlayStation 4.
Exactly. So, like, then that's where I started. That's where I lost my train of thought.
Oh, there you go.
Horizon Zero Dawn. I mean, they basically quietly came out and said, oh, it's all going to be pretty much available, or at least everything I'm interested in. So,
yeah, we didn't mention that, but Horizon was confirmed after that Sony event that they're going to, I believe they said they're going to try to bring it to PlayStation 4. I don't know if it was, but they talked about it being on PlayStation 4. Same thing as you said with Miles Morales. Of course, we know with Microsoft, everything right now is cross-gen. Resident Evil is supposed to come to previous consoles now. Yeah, that's a really, really valid point, is that just about every bit of software with a very few limited Demon Souls on PlayStation 5 is about the only one I can think of that really is right now. Well, or Ratchet and Clank.
That are
console exclusives, but Ratchet and Clank isn't out at launch. So Demon Souls is really the only launch game that's an exclusive to either.
But I don't give a shit about Ratchet and Clank. You know what I mean? On that stuff. So
yeah, if those aren't your games, you're just kind of like, whatever.
Both of those games I do really want to play, but not enough to... first of all, the Ratchet and Clank game, which will truly be next gen in its tech utilization, right? We've talked about that before. That game is... When is that coming out? Sometime 2021? Right, we don't really... I don't even think they've said. They've probably just given like a general window that maybe they'll hit. So Demon Souls I do want to play, because I'm a big fan of all those games. But with Demon Souls specifically... I don't know what they're doing with the gameplay. I'm assuming they're just remaking it visual-wise. And if they're doing the sort of staying true to it, which I would assume they will, because that fan base would like that. And I understand. But I tried to play that game after playing all their other games at some point, or at least up to like Bloodborne or something. It's hard to go back to that one for me, even as somebody that loves those games. So it's like... that's not a system seller. You know, like every point I try to look at it, it's like, I have a PS4 Pro. There's not going to be a reason for me to get this new one until like God of War, Ragnarok, or Horizon, or whatever is like, so, you have to get the PS5. So
since those are cross-gen, are they going to be significantly better where that I'm going to see my $500 difference, you know, at this point? I mean, I'm going to play that, you know, those games on my PS4 Pro on a 75 4K. And I mean, and it's going to look great. Like, you know, I mean, do I really need right now to spend $500? What's the real difference in that going to be? I'm sure that there's going to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but is it, I mean,
would it be load times is kind of what we're thinking of? Like just, it'll be blistering fast, you know?
I think load times is all of it. This is a very
gives me a chance to check social media.
this is a very interesting take that I really did not expect from you guys, because if you guys feel this way and we kind of feel this way, Tommy and I kind of feel this way, I'm wondering how many other people who are out there.
Yeah, but as early adoption, we're all kind of like, Ian's the younger of us, but as far as us, we're just not that generation anymore of early adopters. Like, it sounds like there's still plenty of people, but are those the kids in their 20s? And I'll even say kids in their 30s at this point, you know, that where it's that important, you know, they've got to be on the ground level. Whereas, like, you know, obviously you guys know, like, I like my toys. I work my ass off, and that's the only thing I really do is play video games and, you know, and spend time with my kids. But I don't need it. Like, I don't need to go fight people in line and elbow motherfuckers to, you know, out of the way, yeah, to get it. Like, I'll wait till I like walk through the store. And that's what I mean. Like, I'll walk through, or my wife will be like, hey, there's one in the display case. You want me to bring it home? Okay. You know, now's the time. But I don't have to have it. I don't have FOMO, you know, like,
that's what I was going to bring
other
up.
Other generations do.
That's the thing. That's exactly what people have. I think people have always had that to a degree, but it's going to be worse now, always, with like anything, whether it's a new movie, the new Netflix series, like the social media side of things just kind of elevates people's need to like not be missing out on all of these things that, It's just sort of an artificial, you know, feeling of missing out. It's not really important. It's not like, again, even we're talking about these games, except for, we know Demon's Souls, they're saying, will not be on the PS4. You'll be able to play Miles Morales PS4 Pro, and it'll look slightly worse, I'm sure, than the PS5 version. You know, like, you're playing the same game. You're not missing out. There's nothing you're going to be missing out on. So, but even if I wanted, like, even if I was like, okay, I'm doing the Switch thing, I'm going to try to get one so that I can have it either on launch day, or people are saying they might get it weeks later, unfortunately. But, like, you can't right now. Like, it's impossible. I don't understand how anybody is getting one, because it's, like, I heard GameStop just yesterday was saying, oh, this is what they did. On their Twitter account on Thursday, they were like, tomorrow we're going to have some more PS5s in stores and online, and they said nothing else. And then people in the comments were like, well, wait, let's get some more details. And the most they would give people is, so this won't be the digital, this will just be the disc one, so it'll be the $500, although they didn't say that specifically, that's important. They just said it's the disc version. Then the next day, I'm hearing all these people at their local GameStops waiting in line, tons of people, and it'll end up, oh, we only had two or three available that you guys could even pre-order, so they have to send the rest
home. Brilliant is that, though. They got people to line up to their dying business, and then they could try and sell them something while they're there. Yeah. That's fucking brilliant. I wouldn't tell you anything anyway, either.
Yeah.
Show up.
But then what GameStop also did is... they didn't even tell people that the online one that was available, which was, of course, in very limited supply too, wasn't even the $500 disc version. It was a bundle. So it was a bundle that had an extra controller and two games. Yeah. And so they didn't.
$100 bundles.
Yeah. But it still sold out. It sold out super quick. And nobody else. And then they had to immediately tweet, we're done. We're done with our stock. It's like, this is just a shit show. Like, it probably almost always is. It's just, you know, I'm not totally remembering how it was back then, but.
And this is the, I'll make a couple of points on that.
Back
this
for
is,
other generations? Or?
Yeah, for like the Xbox One and PS4. I feel like it was probably fairly similar in terms of online experience, like trying to get on and pre-order these, or was it not as bad?
I don't think I was in retail. I was in retail for, I think, PS3 and stuff like that, and we really didn't have the internet. You know, I mean, the internet was fledgling.
This is the first, like, quote unquote online console launch that I can really remember. Like, the PS4, Xbox One obviously was too, but it was just
a still, like, 8 years ago.
Years ago,
right?
Yeah.
Was it 5 years? I don't know. That was long.
Whatever it was. It was just a different world. Yeah. 2013.
7 years ago. That's...
Yeah. So it's just a very different online world that, like, the Twitter bubble didn't exist the way it exists today.
And there wasn't a fucking pandemic that more people didn't want to go out to the store. But
on that point, just two really quick things. I'm not worried at all that they're going to sell these things, because the pre-order debacle has shown that. I personally witnessed, I drive by a couple of GameStops on my way to work. And so yesterday, just driving by and seeing people waiting in line at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, there were 15 people standing at, and you know, I heard the same report. We're going to have four or five for a pre-order, you know, like you're not even walking out with anything today. And there's a line that, so it's real. Like there's definitely that aspect to it.
And I think Twitter's a good point, because I think Twitter and social media in general is causing most of this. When we were all growing up, I remember the N64, especially when that came out, and even the original PlayStation on launch day for both of those. I think you and I could both walk into the GameStop in the mall and just pick it up. Like, it was there, and there wasn't as many gamers as there are now, and the information wasn't as easily disseminated. And so, like, when launch day came, you and I went to the mall and picked up stuff. And I think that's the way that most people were. It's not that way anymore because of social media.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to, I think you're absolutely right. The other thing I was going to mention, did y'all see the reports about the Xbox One X sales on pre-launch?
It was up like 700% or something.
700%! Like, you're not telling me that they saw an increase of 700% of just people who said, screw it, I can't get an Xbox Series X, so I'm just going to buy an Xbox One.
Well, like, there's another,
just freaking ordered the wrong thing, right?
Exactly. Like, I think there's nuts. That number probably represents so many things. It's people saying, wait, I have an old Xbox. I'm just going to get a One X because I can play all the same games. Then there's the people that accidentally got it because they thought it was the new one, because Microsoft's naming conventions are garbage. And then somebody else made a good point. A lot of these websites, people use these little scripting bots to try to buy up all these units. They might have done something wrong with their bot and just had it buy the One X. So it's just hilarious.
That'll be amazing. I hope that last one happens.
I hope the last one is people. Almost all of it.
Yeah, me too. Like,
now they got to try to resell or.
Yeah. Screw those people. Yeah. That's horrible. So, well, that's enlightening. One more thing I'll mention, because this news came out after we did the show earlier this week. The Microsoft has announced their expandable storage that you can purchase for a 1 terabyte solid state memory stick that plugs into the back of the Series X or Series S for $210, $211 something, I think, for a terabyte of drive space. The Series S costs $300, or you can buy just a terabyte of drive space for $210. That's crazy.
Yeah. And the idea that like we talked about it during the show, there's not going to be a real way around this. It's a very limited amount of space. So it's not just like with your PC, you just shuffle some games around. You almost have to have it. And I can't imagine people paying that price for. So theoretically, does that bounce it up to a terabyte and a half if you have the internal plus?
Yeah, if you have the Series S, or 2 terabytes if you have the Series X.
Okay.
But good gracious, man.
Wait, what is the storage that comes with the Series S?
500. 500.
It's gigs. Still 500?
Yep.
Are you shitting me?
Nope.
I think they need to be a minimum terabyte for, like, that is unbelievable.
Because these neither games one are of the so giant. Are terabytes either, you know?
Aren't, like, well,
they're
yeah.
the 800 whatever.
And with them, at least they kind of have, like, somewhat of an excuse for this whole thing they're doing with the very specialized new SSD, blah, blah, blah. It's more expensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just think that's insane to me.
Yeah, but it's crazy.
That's part of why it's $299. It's just.
by the way, just a little context with Sony and the PlayStation 5, you're going to be in basically the same boat. At least it looks like right now. So the PlayStation 5 is different in that it's not an external slot. It's an internal slot. So you have to crack the thing open. It looks like to expand the storage, but it's not proprietary. So you can go pick up a, for instance, a Samsung SSD, which is what I'm looking at right now. Samsung has just announced an SSD that looks like it meets the spec requirements for the PlayStation 5. The 1 terabyte version of it is 230.
But that's what I would expect for it. Yeah. SSDs are still expensive, and if it's this newer SSD, it's a sticker shock thing, but it's like that's just kind of been the story with SSDs for a while.
And hopefully it'll get cheaper and cheaper.
Absolutely. We're going to see 2 terabyte models of both of these soon.
My wife just joined us and told me she has a PlayStation game in her hand and says, "I don't know how to get this to work, so you need to come downstairs because the kids want to play it." So I'll be right back.
Right. I don't know how to put it in the machine.
That's funny.
Good times. I appreciate it. Our round table is just like being knocked off one by one.
Yeah, we'll get taken out. Who knows?
Who goes next?
Actually, Duff is back now.
Hey, Duff!
Nice.
Hey,
came off the bench.
Yeah, good. So just in time. Just in time. Subbing in.
Duff, let me ask you a question that everybody else has answered real quick. Next gen plans, knowing what you do about the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X/S things, do you plan to purchase either one soon, some point? What are your thoughts?
Probably not going to be soon because I live in Hawaii and everything takes forever ever arrive. And once it gets here, it gets snapped up. So it took me, I think, 6 months to get the Nintendo Switch eventually. I mean, you guys had already halfway finished Zelda Breath of the Wild, and I was like sitting there listening to your shows going, oh man, I got to get this thing. And I'd go by Target every day, almost try to look for it. But having said that, definitely going to probably invest in the PlayStation just because of upcoming games that I want to play. Again, probably just get the digital edition at this point. It just depends on what's available. Definitely for my main gaming entertainment, though, is going to be a gaming rig. I mean, I grew up playing mouse and keyboard, and that's still my preferred way to play games. In fact, I waited to play Horizon Zero Dawn. I was telling Jamie that last night until it came out on PC.
I'm so excited because he told me that it rocks on mouse and keyboard, and that needs to be my next game. So
good.
I'm
happy about that.
You'll make me pick it back up then, too, hopefully.
Yeah. So it's great. My 2080 Ti, so, I mean, it's just gorgeous, and it seems to be running fine. It's mostly just 60 frames per second at this point, but, I mean, that's pretty good on my 4K TV. So, in any case, yeah, that's kind of where I stand. Definitely not interested in an Xbox just because I know I'm going to be updating my gaming rig probably sometime early next year or sometime next year.
Yeah. Very cool. Let's shift focus really quick. I would love to hear y'all's thoughts now on Bethesda and Microsoft and what you think that means. I mean, obviously in the short term, obviously a big deal, but what does that mean going forward? What are your big predictions? Chad, you look like you're ready for this.
So what it means is that, you know, Microsoft has long let everybody say Sony's whipping their ass, and then Microsoft said, well, hold on a second, and they unzipped their pants and whipped their humongous dick on the table and flopped it out and said, you know what? For so long everybody said that Microsoft is down and out, and Sony's making all the right moves and doing all these different things. And, you know, and I'm pretty, I have both. I mean, I always have just about every system, so I can play whatever I want, wherever I want, wherever I feel is the best place for it, or it's going to look the best or the most easily accessible. Something along those lines. So I'm not a Sony pony or a Xbox bro or, you know, or whatever. But a lot of people fall, just like, you know, you're either a Democrat or Republican, or you're this or that. You're an Xbox guy or a Sony guy.
Consumer identity bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and Xbox, and you guys have mentioned it many, many, many times. They've just been kind of going the other route, and they've been, you know, setting up for this more as a service, you know, versus as a platform. And this is another huge acquisition to where they can, you'll be able to play Xbox games or Xbox service games, but you'll be able to play them everywhere. You know, you're going to be able to play them possibly on the Switch, on your laptop, you know, on your phone, on your, you know, whatever device that they sell. You're never, and I've heard some people, I don't think you guys did, but I've heard some people say like, well, you'll have Xbox Live on Sony. That'll never happen, ever.
No.
But you're going to play Microsoft games on Sony now, especially with the acquisition of Bethesda.
What we said is that...
I'm not saying you guys did. I may have heard that somewhere.
I'm just saying what we said, just to clarify, what we said is they would like to see it happen. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's what Microsoft would like to see.
Yeah. So your prediction, Chad, is we'll see Elder Scrolls on PlayStation. We'll see Fallout 5 on PlayStation. We'll see Starfield, right? Is that what it's called? On
absolutely. I mean,
think all those are going to end up there.
You don't spend $4.5 billion, and then try to exclusivize it. You spend that kind of money because you want to sell it to everybody, but you now own the market. So if they just try and, oh, hey, we're going to earn back $4.5 billion, that's no games even created yet other than the catalogs they bought. Like, that's fine. You're going to get some residual sales there, and they're going to be able to do it. That means that you want to sell it to everybody, but you want to be the guy that collects everything from everybody, not just the one that collects, you know, a hot 20% for every game sold on your system. You want all that money. You know, or you want the 70% or the 80% or, you know, something along those lines. And they'll be getting, I mean, they're going to be Microsoft and they're going to be Xbox, and every one of those games sold on a PS4. Hey, you know what? Go sell another 100 million PS4s and 20 million of them or 30 million of them can buy the next Skyrim or this or that. And we're going to get that. And then, hey, also, there's going to be a bunch of microtransactions or whatever, you know, and skins and this and that. And we're going to make billions off of that, too.
Yeah. Cabbage, it sounded like you generally agree. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, yes. They've been playing the long game, the long con, for a while. You could tell from the very early inklings of Game Pass that what they were doing. And then all of a sudden, in the span of a few months, we have, well, EA Play is now included in a version of Game Pass. So you have a huge part of EA's library. And now they're directly buying and owning ZeniMax, you know, Bethesda. So now those games are on Game Pass. They will be. People were like, they were wondering, is this or the how is this going to work? They came out and clarified, yes, all these future games are going to be day one Game Pass games. Yeah. The next Elder Scrolls, the next whatever. That is, you cannot understate how big that is. Because of course I agree that yes, they're not going to stop selling these games on Sony's console. But what they're going to do is now they have more of a leverage to convince people outside of the, let's just look at the console thing, which is obviously the most, that's the higher percentage of the gaming market is people deciding which consoles they're going to get. Maybe they get both, whatever. Now people are knowing that if you're a huge fan of one or more of these Bethesda games, and you're always going to end up paying $60 for them anyway, why don't you just get an Xbox if you don't have one already? Or maybe you don't have Game Pass and now you're going to get it, because now you could just play all these games through Game Pass as opposed to, you know, getting them on the Sony platform. But even if you do, they get some of the money. It's such a big dick move. It is such a like a mic drop thing, you know.
And they're playing the long game, right?
And exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I knew what I was doing. Yeah, so it's like, it's just, and so there's a consumer friendly part of it to an extent for the people that are already on Game Pass, because it's like, oh, I can get the next Elder Scrolls and the thing I'm already paying for, which of course we know there's going to be price increases over time. We're not going to fool ourselves in thinking it's always going to be as cheap as it is, because PC itself already did their thing. but it's always going to be pretty consumer friendly compared to you have to pay $60 if you want to get the next Elder Scrolls, then $60 for Fallout, then $60 for Wolfenstein, then $60 for Doom. That now you just get all it's nuts. Yeah. And Sony doesn't really have an answer quite like that, although they do have incredible exclusive games. But Microsoft put a lot more eggs in their basket, right? Like, that's kind of the thing that they've done now. So,
well, I mean, go ahead, Jamie.
I was just going to mention that I came across this week because on the last show, I talked about Resident Evil 7 being on Game Pass and I finally had to play it. Well, lo and behold, 2 days later, I get an email from Valve saying that it's on sale on my Steam wish list for like $8. And if I wanted to pay another $8, I could get all the DLC and all the stuff. And I almost bought it. And then I thought, you know what? If I wait 6 months, this entire package is probably going to be available somewhere on Epic or somewhere. And so where it might backfire is that, like, you don't buy a title because you think you're going to get it somewhere for essentially free on a service that you're already paying for. And that's what I wonder about, is because, you know, we've got between Game Pass and Epic, like, there's free games everywhere, essentially.
But I think with that statement, you're talking to us. And just like with everything, so most games, I think, whatever the numbers are, it's something like 90% of sales or whatever are within the first week.
Right.
People want to play it right when it comes out, or 90% of people. So your statement is communicating to the other 10%. They may wait a little longer, but I, you know, just like with movies, you know, hey, not everybody goes to the movie theater, but a lot of people, well, not right now, but a lot of people do go to the movie theater and they pay $15 each to go see it. But I can wait till it's out on Netflix, but they're still, you know, in the movies, people spend $100 million to go see it there first and see it there early. Same thing with games. So I think what it'll do in one realm is, it's going to scoop up those subscriptions. So there's that constant, I mean, what is it? 15 million people at $15-$20 a month. Yeah. And that's a lot of money and that's a lot of revenue to bring in. But also you're going to have the parents, like, you guys aren't parents of older kids. So you're not going to the soccer. I mean, I deal with parents my age and actually a lot younger than myself. And not many of them are gamers. Like, there's a lot more gamers that are older, but it's still not a huge percentage. Just like with kids, not all are gamers. I mean, they'll play on their phones or whatever, but I'll go sit at the softball field and, you know, maybe 1 in 5 dads are gamers, but their kids want a game. So I'm going to be able to go, or that person or that larger percentage of the group is going to be able to go and buy the cheaper, what is it? Was it $299 is the Xbox? Yep. The cheaper, the $299 Xbox, and then subscribe their kid to the $15 a month service, and then they got a million games. That's all I have to do. Yeah. And I don't have to worry about anything else. Yeah, and they've literally got more games than they can almost ever play.
I really think this created a sea change between how I kind of viewed the PlayStation Xbox relationship for the last generation, at least, in that, like, it was so easy to just compare them and say, okay, well, you've got Xbox and here's their exclusives. So you got Sony and here's their exclusives. And then in the middle, there's all these games that come out on both. And it's so easy to say, okay, well, the PlayStation exclusives are better, but for us specifically, like, those hit our sweet spot. And so I don't need an Xbox. I'm just going to go buy a PlayStation because I get their exclusives. And then everything that, you know, every Ubisoft game, every EA game, every Bethesda game comes out on both. And so I already have a platform that can play it. But to me now, with a big chunk of that, EA and Bethesda being part of Game Pass, is now, if you want to play the non-exclusive stuff, you just need an Xbox because you're going to get it all on the subscription. And so it just makes sense to have an Xbox. And then if you want the Sony exclusives, like if you care about God of War or Uncharted or The Last of Us or those games, then you're going to need a PlayStation 5. But if those aren't your thing, which for a ton of gamers, those aren't their thing, what's the rationale for buying a PlayStation? And
for kids, it really isn't their thing.
Exactly. And so it just flips the whole thing upside down from what I think the last gen was. And I think Microsoft completely expects Sony to outsell them hardware-wise. Microsoft doesn't care about hardware right now. That's not what they're doing, and we know that. But I think in 2 or 3 years, that could totally shift. I think that Microsoft is just going to establish it as you go buy a box in our subscription service and you're just set. You don't have to worry about buying games. You don't have, it's just like having a TV and Netflix, you know? Like, you got to have the hardware to run this on, and then you get the games as part of the service, and it's just a no-brainer at that point. And so, I don't think we can overstate how massive of a move that this was for Microsoft and what the kind of domino effect we're going to see from this. Like, obviously Sony's trying to do something now. We don't know. There's been rumors about Konami or whatever and whatever, but they've got to, you know, try to do something. Microsoft's going to continue to try to make these acquisitions. We're going to see this kind of thing continue to happen. It was unexpected and massive and yeah. I think.
Well, the software and the continuation of the software has especially over the last few years really proven where the money's made. So like Fortnite kind of comes out of nowhere. It's a stupid free game, right? Like none of us really play it. That free game made $2 billion last year.
Yeah.
Like, where? From skins and shit. Like, and Fortnite passes and everything. So if you own the software, I mean, you really own the revenue stream. Like, it's that's what people don't think. Like, oh, hey, yeah, they sold this many. I would have to look it up, the stat on Grand Theft Auto. We talk about it. Grand Theft Auto for years has been one of the number one selling games. They don't, I mean, that $30 that it sells for now, and the fact that it sold, 30 million copies or whatever, like, that's a good base. Grand Theft Auto still makes, like, it's something like $100 million or more a month, like, on microtransactions.
Yep.
Like, that's where the money really is. And Xbox has been investing in that part. I am also glad, though, that PlayStation still really invests in third-person action adventure games, because that is almost becoming, other than on PlayStation, is becoming very much a lost art. We have Fortnite, we have PUBG, and then Xbox really is a looter shooter box. I mean, they have tons of shooters, and then you have Gears of War, and that's about it, you know, on Xbox. So I don't know. I mean, I've got my story-driven third-party stuff over here on PlayStation, and then I've got everything else on Xbox.
Yep, and that's going to be me too. You know, I think that's going to be a lot of people. And the PlayStation box is the one that becomes expendable, as opposed to vice versa, which I think it was this last generation. All that said, just Duff, I would love to get your thoughts here if you want to hop in really quickly on.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that Microsoft just did a genius marketing move. Game Pass library is growing. They've got X Cloud. I do think cloud gaming is pretty much going to be the future of gaming at some point. And they have, it's all about the subscription and keeping people engaged and getting that, $10, $15, $20 a month from them. And on top of that, you can play it on pretty much whatever you prefer. In my case, I prefer, I'm a PC enthusiast. I prefer playing on PC. I play all their games on PC and I love it. So I actually feel a little annoyed that I have to buy a PlayStation in order to play, to play these games that I want to play that would probably look as good or better on my PC, you know? So, so I think it's a great idea. And the other thing I was going to say, I wonder if Steam and Epic are scared, or even do you think that there's a chance that they could potentially be snapped up by one of these companies? You know, I don't know.
I think there's absolutely, I think those are two of the names that are at the very top of the list for everybody right now, is can we get Valve or can we get Epic? Obviously Epic with Fortnite, but the Epic Game Store and everything else too. Yeah, I could easily see one of them consolidating, having some kind of merger with one of these big guys, or with Google or Amazon or somebody else as well. Let's not take those people out of this conversation quite yet. Obviously, we know Stadia. I'll mention really quickly, this happened after we did the last show as well, that Amazon officially announced their streaming game service, which is called Luna.
I saw like a controller or something. It looks like the Pro Controller.
It does look like the Pro Controller, and it's like purple, so it kind of like it looks twitchy since Amazon owns Twitch whatever. Like, but obviously that makes a ton of sense, like to kind of integrate their service with Twitch, and that could be a huge deal. What they're doing that's smarter than what Stadia did is they're making a subscription service, so you pay a subscription and you get access to the games as opposed to Stadia, which is cloud gaming a la carte.
Google, just, why didn't you do this?
I mean, it's just mind-boggling. Well, I don't understand it at all.
And the amount of money, the reason that Amazon scares me, I mean, we talk about Google having money, and Google does have money, but Amazon is everywhere. They have more revenue streams than a whole lot of people out there. You talk about somebody that can just buy stuff up. Amazon is that other group other than Microsoft. And so when they decide, we want to do something, it's you can't poo-poo it because they're like, okay, here's $10 billion. Give us that.
Yeah,
they have that capability, and that's what's going to be interesting. I think it may end up being Microsoft and Amazon and everybody else. It's just where do you end up?
Yeah,
I'd like to ask Duff a question. Based on something he said. Because I always find, like he said, that he likes to play everything on PC. Like, and actually, you guys can answer because most of you are PC players. I'm not. When you play on PC, like, how do you play? Like, are you in, like, you know, the big desk with a bunch of monitors around, a big gaming chair? Like, how do you guys play on PC? Because, I mean, I'll be honest, the reason I'm asking, like, that being an older gentleman, that's kind of what, like, just sitting here in this chair right now, I had to go get my daughter's chair, which is a little better. Like, my lower back's killing me. Like, I game on a recliner, and, you know, I mean, I'm a mid-40s man. Like, it just, the thought of sitting at a monitor with a mouse and a keyboard and a chair, like, sounds painful to me. And it doesn't sound nice. It doesn't sound comfortable. Like, you know, and that's really what limits me. Like, when I was a kid, I probably played some games and stuff like that. But
yeah, you're just an old man.
Dude, it fucking sucks. I can't really sleep on a certain side because that hip hurts. It's just bad.
I play all my games at the same place. I have my monitor that my PC's plugged into and that my PlayStation's plugged into and that my Switch dock is plugged into. And so, like, I play them all at a desk sitting in a chair, office chair. Okay. Yeah, so that's almost all my gaming other than on the Switch on the couch. But I don't play any console games on a couch or on a recliner or anything like that. What? It's all at a desk.
And you talk about being old, like I have gotten to the point with the TV, like if I play a game on the TV, like I'm so used to sitting at the desk and having the monitor right there, I'm looking at the TV going, I can't see that. Like I cannot see that. And Duff and I last night were talking about 4K and that it's time to upgrade to a 4K monitor. He's right. It is my preferred way to play at this point because it's right there.
Well, you're kind of built. I mean, I'm not trying to be insulting, but you're built into a chair too. I mean, you know, that's where you are. No, I mean, I have found it very hard to play my asshole character that I normally do being on video with you guys. Like, if you notice, like, my demeanor's not a lot different. Like, I haven't been able to put on, like, the, you know, that. I mean, I hope most people realize that, for the most part, is only, like, 50% me and the other is.
Well, I was going to say, I play, you know, I haven't a lot lately. I've been mostly doing console stuff, okay. But I've always been it just depends on what's going on. If it's PC stuff, obviously I'm going to be spending tons of time there. And I have a, you know, I have one of those gamer chair, gamer bro, streamer looking chairs, you know.
Oh, hey, no, I mean, posture. I have a big couch recliner. Yeah. You do what it takes to be comfortable. I'm just saying, like, for me, like, I mean, I can't sit at a desk anymore unless I have, like, the best.
Well, and I was just going to say, yeah, so, and again, it depends on the games you play. Like, obviously, if I'm going to be playing most PC games, not most, I guess, again, depends on what you play. If you're playing PC games that do mouse and keyboard, obviously, I want to be at a desk. Like, you can get these fun little controller things that are like, you know, in one hand, you map all the stuff to your... Yeah, you can do that. It would be, I've always thought of it, but I was like, I have my good setup at my desk. Like, I don't really want to do that. But I also play games with a controller on PC because some games just play better with a controller, like Witcher or Sekiro or whatever. And then I just sit back a little bit more in my gaming chair and I have my little Xbox controller. You know, I just, to me, it's like, I like both. I like having, because I have a TV out there, 4K TV. I play my PS4 Pro on, and there I'm sitting on a couch.
And right? That's like, just your guys' comfort level then.
I just do both. Know. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I'll throw in there the same thing. One word that I'll throw out there is wireless. So you can have a wireless keyboard, wireless headphones, wireless mouse, and just kind of sit back in an ergonomic chair and just chill. I've got, you know, a little stand next to me where I have a mouse and a little pad. And then the other thing is like mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of times I will play with a controller, again, wireless controller, Xbox controller. I also like Jamie said, I like to be up, like to be up closer to the TV just to be able to see everything. And I like looking, just being able to see the fine detail. I'm 50. So if I sit too far back, so if I sit too far back, like Jamie said, I'm like, I got to put my glasses on, like readers, to be able to see things.
Well, I have to put my glasses on. I just bought, okay, so you're, oh, why does Chad have a big TV? Because I can't fucking see it either, so I just keep buying a bigger TV.
Old man gaming show right here. I love it. It's great. All that being said, thank you guys for being here with Duty and Wrap. Any final thoughts anybody has on next gen, things you're particularly excited about, or everybody's kind of like, see what happens?
One thing, since we got Duff here, and since everybody here is going to play this game, I got to ask the question that we asked on the last couple of shows. Where is everybody playing Cyberpunk?
PC.
PC.
We should talk about, since most of us here are PC side, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but what about the new freaking video cards? Like, who is jumping on this?
Speaking of
taking a nap, see you later.
Chad's bowing out.
Yeah, those things are pre-order mess too.
That's exactly, and that's what I'm. See, I'm in the point because Duff over there has a 2080 Ti, and technically the 3070 is actually better than that, which is stupid because it's only 500. But I'm over here with a 1070 Ti, which is a pretty good card, but it's getting a little old in the tooth, long in the tooth for games like Cyberpunk that are coming out. So part of me wants to do the 3070, but am I even going to be able to get it? That's the, like, is it even feasible?
Yeah.
Good I'm luck. Assuming no.
Yeah. I don't follow that quite as closely, but from everything I've seen, they're ever been as but hard to get.
That card on. For what it can do, everybody wants to talk about the 3090 because it's the big boy, and I get it. But it's a $500 card that's like two or three times faster than the 2080 Ti. That is unreal. And that's why it's going to sell instantly. And the only way you'll be able to get it are these third-party different versions. It'll be like $200 more expensive. And then the value kind of goes away. It's like, oh, shit. Yeah.
And the 3080 is their flagship. And so that's
and
the
that's already that gone. Yeah.
Yeah. They're putting a bunch of those out. And I bet a handful of the 3070s and a handful of the 3090s just because.
But I think it's going to be same story as the consoles. It's like, I'm just going to wait a bit to upgrade. And I'm sure Cyberpunk is going to look fine on my system.
Yeah, it should.
I won't be able to absolutely like blast it, I guess. I'm going to have to turn some settings down, but whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
Or else I would wait to, I'd wait until next year. Prices are probably going to normalize a little bit in the, and yeah. as well as availability, but also when these new video cards are launched, there's all kinds of patches and bugs and upgrades that have to happen. So yeah. I would say wait. And the one thing I'm going to throw out there, I told Jamie I was going to tell you this, Tommy. Play Half-Life Alyx.
Yes. It's
amazing, dude. You've got the Vive wireless. It is like you're totally untethered. It's fantastic, man. Yeah. It's like got to be my favorite game so far until Cyberpunk comes out of this year. It's like you got to do it.
Yeah, I haven't touched it so long. I do need to do that.
You're going to have to 100%. Wait a while. Jamie's only up to about 2007 on his games right now.
He's about to crack open Bioshock.
Hey, I'll let you know I think Bioshock the year came out.
Well, we'll get around to Infinite. Have you done Infinite?
Yes. You know there's Bioshock 2.
Oh, yeah, no.
Out of all of them, Bioshock 2 is the only one that I haven't played.
There we go.
That'll spoilers, be it. You get to be
next
a big
Gaming
daddy.
Uncensored. Just wanted to tell everybody I'm playing Bioshock 2.
Oh, I fucking
Bioshock 2 Discourse again.
That was completely on character. I'm working. I got my headphones in, and I listen to you guys while I'm working. And, you know, you guys talk to me a lot. And I talk back, and obviously we don't hear each other, but we do. But it was exactly like what I posted, where Jamie's like, you know, when I still watch Blu-rays, and I stop what I'm doing, I go, you and my grandma, Jamie, you and my fucking grandma.
Oh man,
hey, I still buy 4K Blu-rays. I do, man.
We can't make it through a show without roasting Jamie.
Oh, Jamie.
I'm glad to be a service boy. That's all I'm saying.
Jamie, you just flew in from San Francisco. How you feeling, buddy? Looks like you landed in the bedroom.
Boy, my arms are tired.
Are they? All right. Yeah.
Thank you guys for being here. That was a good time. We'll do another one of these pretty soon. So stay tuned for that. For right now, we are going to wrap up. This has been an enjoyable time on Zoom. Maybe y'all saw a video of this. We don't know. But you definitely heard it. So thank you guys who are listening for hanging out as well. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.